I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 41. So easy to go to NASCAR with this, Christian. But I did not.
Oh, we're not. Okay.
We're not. We're going to Nate's second favorite. Well, I would say his favorite, but he is kind of a NASCAR junkie. We're going to IndyCar. To 2024.
Oh no.
The car number 41. The Pray.com AJ Foyt Racing entry of Stingray Rob. Where'd you think I was going, Santino?
It took me a second because I know that they. It's either 14 or it's 41. They just flipped the numbers, and I
did. Santino drive the 41 ever?
I don't know.
I don't know. I couldn't find it. All I found was this, and I was like, "We're in." And it dovetails nicely because Stingray Rob was announced as the second driver at Junco's Hollinger Racing.
Yeah.
Well. All right, on tonight's episode, Formula One season finale.
It's pretty much
then
it.
Then we'll go news and notes.
Yep.
Maybe a quick one tonight.
Yeah, probably.
And then we'll do a we'll do kind of a Formula One look back next week. Yeah, holiday show. Then when Nate gets back.
Yeah, I know.
Well, when Nate gets back, we'll have to kick off the new season.
Yeah, yeah. It. I was gonna say we're probably looking at this week, and then I think next week might be the last one of the year.
Yeah, people are gonna suffer with us.
Yeah, I know.
Well, the Christmas one. Might there be a when? Oh, I was gonna say. It might be there could be an opportunity for a live one.
There could be.
Depending on how schedules break.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll touch base. Oh, well, but next week could be the last one for the season.
Yeah.
There might be a surprise one, but we don't know yet.
Yeah. If not, we'll pick up in the new year.
We'll pick up in the new year.
So.
But. Lots to talk, lots to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Sorry, Mitt's bite there. Apologize. Well, kind of went the way we thought. Do you want to recap our picks first?
Well, you and Nate had the correct winner of Max. I had the podium.
Everyone you had on, the podium. I like every, that.
I had everyone on the podium. The only thing I did was I switched. I had Lando winning and Max third, but then that's the only flip.
But you had the podium.
I had the podium. Yeah.
So by default, you win.
Yeah, if we want to go with that technicality, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I mean, all I think I had. Did I have the winner?
You and Nate had the winner.
Who did I have second?
Look, Russell.
Oh, I thought
you had a Mercedes double podium.
I thought Mercedes was actually going to show up, and they look like Alpine.
Nate had Leclerc in second, and then Russell on third. Which, to be fair,
well,
Leclerc not a bad pick after how this weekend.
Not a bad pick because Max was waiting for him too, and he never showed up.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess we can just get into it then. So the qualifying, Max is able to stick it on pole even after both McLarens
were quick in practice.
Yeah, look quick in practice.
Well, except for the third practice.
Right, but with some of the top teams, I've always it's been tricky to tell where the pace is because they'll sometimes just switch to doing long runs rather than showing their pace. So you can't always read into it that deep.
Right.
Did you
have a surprise in qualifying?
I would probably say the Saubers, if I'm correct on that. I need to pull it up. I can't even remember who was like. I know Alonso was up there. I just
because I'm just gonna kind of just excuse the top three.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I think looking back at it now, I think the entire bottom five or the back half of the top ten was surprising.
Yeah, hold on a second. I got it coming up. Bear with me 1 second. Okay, I got it.
Wait, that's...
I have it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I think the top five went pretty much according to plan. You know, Max, Oscar, Lando, Charles, George.
Yeah.
Right? Pretty much consistent top five of the year. And then when you're right, 6 through 10.
Yeah,
we had Fred. We had Esteban. All right, Fred. I'm gonna get to Fred in a second.
Yeah.
We had Fred. Esteban. Lewis somehow. Wait a minute. That's the race results. What are we doing? I want to qualify. Sorry. Jesus. Sorry. Holy crap. Doing the same thing. Okay. So it was top five. The only thing different was Charles and George were inverted. Flipped, yeah. Anyway, Fred was six. But here we go. We had Bortoleto. Great job for a rookie.
Yeah.
Esteban kind of hauled himself out of, you know, wherever he's been with the Haas all year. Isaac with a great job. Yuki,
No. We're not going to snub that one because how the season has gone, that's impressive.
Is that a win for him?
Yes, because he's in the top 10. Like that's
okay. And then
it's rare.
And then rare. we had Ollie. Again, the Haas car is not bad.
Haas is very hit or miss, and they've been very much under the radar this year.
Yeah. So all right, but. Some good surprises there. Bortoleto, again, Hadjar with another top 10, you know, qualifying effort. So, yeah. You know, good to see. And Fred just doing Fred things. I mean, I'm going to say this. of the, I don't consider Aston top tier team, so they're the next tier down. Fred is the Max Verstappen of that group. And a close second is Carlos Sainz. I mean, seriously. The two of them.
Yeah.
Even though this wasn't the best weekend for Williams, but
right, and I think you can look to the I know people do like the Formula 1.5 standings where they basically just exclude the front runners more or less.
Yeah,
and either it was both Williams drivers were up there. Like if you're just looking at across the season, like it was either Albon or Sainz that. Took that unofficial title kind of deal, but I think some of that you also can't. To your point, like Fred is out of the group of drivers in that middle tier group, Fred's the one to put it up there.
Yeah. And he's dragging a bad car to achievable efforts.
And
I would say that Carlos is doing the same with the Williams.
Whatever's clicked the second half of the year, they're dialed in.
Yeah.
So
no, 100%.
And that's great to see. And I know Carlos had made comments about the first half of the year just not going right with either a strategy call or a mechanical issue kind of deals. Mm-hmm. But it's good to see them get it all together. So
yeah.
And I mean,
anyway, so
it was interesting too to see Albon just kind of slip the second half.
Yeah,
just kind of a comparison between the two of them. But
good point.
It was a interesting note to watch as the season went on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to skip too far ahead, but I just pulled up Wikipedia because, Toto, I use Wikipedia to look at F1 stats. And Albon didn't score a point since Monza.
Yep.
And in that time frame, Carlos had two podiums. So, all right, moving on back to qualifying and the stars of it. Yeah, moving away from the surprises in the top 10, then you get down to the people who choked in Q1 and Q2. Lewis, number one. Is it the driver or the car? You could say both, but probably the car to some extent, even though Charles put it on fifth. So there is an element of the driver there. Kimi, I don't know what he missed, but also I'm just looking at the gaps to in Q2, and they were super tight as well. So, I mean, really, like, anything they could have done would have vaulted them up positions. I mean, from Lance in 15th to Hadjar... Oh, wait a minute. No, let me... I'm sorry. The entire field was covered by, like, 0.4 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty damn close.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, people were getting caught out in Q2, but, I mean, that's a tight margin to fit through. Q1 was more of a spread, but...
You know, it's just the... fortunately for Lewis, it just... Woof, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of how the season's just gone, too.
Yeah, kind of how the season's gone. So,
all right.
So, you know, Max ends up on pole. We got the McLarens behind. We got George in a position to strike. We also have Charles. And the wild card being... Fred. Fred was making comments, like, you know, but it was kind of funny. Yeah, you know, between qualifying and the race.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, he definitely plays to it. But
yeah.
if anyone needed a good reminder, Qatar is always a good one.
Yeah.
Aston is. Like it's very good in qualifying and it can put a lap together, but come race time, like it falls away.
And post-qualifying, basically the talk was strategy, you know, what was it going to be? you know, a lot of theories on Max back in the pack up, you know, blah, 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 or, you know, Red Bull doing something with, you know, Max going out and then pitting, you know, so that, you know, Yuki would kind of play this, you know, the Checo role that Checo played, you know, in 2021, things like that. And then, you know, basically the other question was, what would, you know, what would go on at, you know, McLaren?
Mm-hmm.
So start, Max gets away, Oscar fights in the one, but then makes an outlandish pass. I mean, Coulthard was calling it the pass of the year. I'm not so sure it was pass of the year, but it was worthy. It was in the top five. I will say that.
Into the long left-hander?
Yeah, when he went around the outside of Lando.
I think you probably could find other passes that were more stellar.
Yeah,
the situation at hand, of course, it's going to bump it up because it's for the championship kind of deal in the closing stages of the year. But you could tell he was not going to let Lando go ahead of him at that point.
He was going to try and make a move so that he could get up there and try and win the race. That's what he was going to try and do.
By the end of lap one, Lando's margin is down to nothing.
Exactly.
In the championship. Like, he has to finish third, or that's it. Both Piastri and Max are doing... Well, I mean, Max is doing exactly what he needs to, which is win the race. And then after that, it's all up to Lando. And so it was... At that point, it's a question of, can Oscar go catch Max? Didn't happen. But what did happen is Leclerc was just there behind Lando for a significant portion of the race. And my question that after those first five laps is, can he stay there? Because the Ferrari just hasn't been able to stick with the top guys as the run goes on. As the race unfolded, he couldn't. And the question kind of became, should he have done a one stop instead? But if Ferrari felt that was the best way to go about it, then who knows? Maybe the fall off would have been even worse if they tried to do a one stop with their car. So
I mean, I thought Red Bull, you know, essentially did the right thing, right strategy. You know, basically Max had to win the race, so there was no sense, you know, playing around. Backing the field up would have only worked had Yuki been in the top six in qualifying, because they were praying that he was going to come through the field. To get to some position where if they started backing it up, he could start mucking it up with Lando, you know?
Yeah.
That just wasn't going to happen.
Well, I think what would have been better for the race is if George was able to get ahead of Alonso within the first lap or two.
He didn't.
But Alonso got a crazy start as well.
He did. Did they ever mention? Now George mentioned that he had some type of braking problem. Did they ever get to the bottom of that, or
it never came up in the race?
Because I never saw anything post race or during the race. You know, I never saw anything more about it.
But it would have been more critical, I guess, if George was able to battle with Charles and then just be in that region of, okay, it's like it's going to affect Lando.
Or of the two of them working with each other to get up there, you know?
Right, yeah, however it is. Because at that point, it's now Lando versus Ferrari versus McLaren, and it's not just Lando versus Ferrari.
100% agree. Yep.
And you could kind of... What I did find interesting was that the McLaren drivers did a split strategy to start the race.
Yeah, I interesting, but I think at that point you're covering your bases. Basically, I think
no. McLaren has never done this throughout the year.
It's always been the same page, and at this point, if
you're really letting the drivers be independent from one another,
I get it. I will say this. I think they were concerned that if they didn't split the strategy, I think they really feared that Lando was exposed. Okay, and by splitting this strategy, they were going to, you know, that what they were trying to do was make sure cover it, that one of their drivers took the driver's championship is what they were hoping for. But
it didn't.
I know
the papaya rules. I know.
Well, I think they really feared that they weren't going to be able to do this.
And Max is going to overhaul them. Yeah.
That's what I think it was. So they threw the papaya rules out. That's
right.
What they did.
Leave it to the last. Right. The last race of the year to do something like this.
Again,
at the end of the race, worked out perfectly fine. Yeah. I mean, Max had enough pace to cover him, but I mean,
the overall biggest problem was that Charles and George were not able to come through the field. That was really what it was.
I
expected more. I expected a lot better. I thought there was gonna be a lot more performance out of the Mercedes, and I mean the Ferrari surprised me because on race pace it was really good because Lewis demonstrated it by coming up through the field,
right?
Because he got to eight, he finished in eighth, so he went from where he was, so he had pace, but Charles never he got the fourth, but he started sixth. You know, so it's like, you know, that didn't go anywhere. George started fifth and finished fifth. I mean, yeah. So there was no performance in their cars.
Well, you know, because Alonso got the start that he did and was able to hold him up for a lap or two, which is enough. That's
now I will say this. This was kind of like hilarious. You know, Lando's coming through the field and he gets to Yuki.
When you could see it coming, it was all right. He's probably going to try and slow him down. That's fine. Let me rephrase that. I don't think it's fine. Well, at this point, the championship's the championship.
My thought just on this was, I was like, This isn't Lando's going to do away with him, and you know he in theory did. Whether or not he went, I'm not going to get into whether or not he went out of bounds or whatever. But it was such a weak defense.
It was
horrible.
I agree.
That's kind of where I'm going to go. I'm not going to get into this. They wanted to play it up on both feeds. You know that it's like, oh, they can't do that. You know, and it's like, well, I mean, let's put it this way. Lando could have easily gone around the outside of him.
Yes.
And this is where I have a problem with Lando, because I'll be honest with you. I don't think he has a good sense of race tactics, whereas I think Oscar does, not to the extent that Max does, or somebody like Charles, or George doesn't even have it. George just complains. But Charles, Carlos, and Fred. You know, you get Carlos learning how to back the field up, create DRS trains. You know, he's thinking in that mode. Max is thinking the same way. Those guys think that same way. I think in some ways, I think Oscar does. You know, he sees a bigger picture. Lando, I don't have a great sense of someone that has a good skill set for race tactics and how to, you know, defend in a car. That's just my opinion.
Well, The common trait amongst the drivers you've listed outside of Alonso is all those drivers have Red Bull Racing influence in them. And it's it's just a mindset of how you have to prepare for the race.
Yeah.
Lando's been fortunate to have Carlos and Danny Ric as his teammates to
right.
maybe instill some of that, but they were never in race winning contention to see that. And when it did, you saw the difference in mindset, and it's like one is under control and the other one's a little scattered.
Right. Yeah, and then what you see is he also had much like a couple of years with Max there, he had a superior car this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a very good car last year. So he was able to use that, but when it gets down to it, when he has to go toe to toe with people, how to craft through the field. Sometimes I don't think he thinks it out too well. I mean, he could have easily gone around the outside of Yuki. I mean, Yuki wasn't going to throw much of a defense. He's not a strong driver.
Well,
so
Lando seemed set on passing Yuki on the inside.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there was plenty of room on the outside. That's my whole thing.
Yes, but here's my problem with Yuki's defense. He didn't shut the door on the left side.
No, right. He left the door. And you know what? It was kind of like, remember Lewis did the same thing one time?
You got to be way more specific than that.
I know. Well, like he did. I don't know if it was here during the controversial finish, or there was another race somewhere along the line where Lewis was under attack. And you thought he was gonna, he would have just not when I say slam the door shut, but taking the inside line to take it away and force the guy to go around the left side. He left the gap on the, to the inside where the guy could go. And I can't remember if it was Max or someone else went. And I was like, holy crap, what did he do? That's just not Lewis like. When Lewis defends, he's not defending in a, very marginal way. Nefarious way. He's tactically defending. That's what he's doing. I think the only time he got nefarious was definitely at the British GP with Max, because I think that was the one incident I'm going to point to. But but nine times out of ten, he's fine. And there was this one time I remember that happening, and this is exactly the same thing I just said. So Lando's like, well, he left the door open. I'm going to go.
Yeah,
and that's what he did.
It was when you watch Yuki do the dragon snake, whatever you want to call it, to break the draft.
It wasn't the snake. That's not the snake.
Anyways, the
he did the center block. he did
a worm. He just kind of like sort of
moved. Yeah. That's weak.
That's what I'm getting to at this point. Like, when he got onto the back straight, he moved deliberately to the left and then moved deliberately to the right. When he moved back to the left, it wasn't as deliberate.
Right.
Like he was pulling to the left slower than when he did it initially. And if he was more deliberate with the move, then it might have changed Lando's perception of like, okay, like that was an aggressive move.
Yeah.
Like I can't get over and to the inside as quickly as he was. But when he was just kind of like lazily doing it, then yeah, you're going to leave a door open that way. The penalty that they gave Yuki, I mean, that's just insult to injury, but Lando's onboard, or both of their onboards, doesn't look bad. It's the offboard shot looking down the straightaway at the two of them coming at the camera. Because it's like, that's where you see the second move or the reaction from Yuki to move over even more. But it just gets back to the point of like, it was a crap defense. So I wouldn't even give Lando a penalty for going off track in that instance.
No, That's why I was I didn't really think there was anything.
And likewise, I wouldn't give Yuki a penalty either, because his race was ruined anyways because Red Bull decided to keep him out for that long.
Right.
In hopes that he would end up in this position, and he blew it. He wasn't even challenging, but with DRS in the next straight, Lando easily overtook him and then gapped him. It wasn't even close.
Yeah. So that was probably the only controversial moment in the race. Overall, it was a weak defense. I mean, it was from my perspective, it was laughable.
It was funny seeing seeing Perez's Twitter reply where he was like, "Yeah,
what did he say?"
Oh, it was along the lines of it's not so easy, huh? just one of those kind of remarks. There was a F1 meme account or whatever that posted, Yuki making a weak defense, and then
all right, I got you. Sorry.
Perez was like, he just replied more or less like, "Yep."
Yep.
But yeah. So the F1 Twitter was funny to read. The race after that, you can sit there and say it was boring, but that's without McLaren messing up. That's probably how this race was going to go, regardless. It's the three title contenders on the podium in whatever order they get out in front on at the start of the race. So,
right. Overall, Max again just, asserted himself and, drove, the whole weekend he just, proved I'm not knocking our champion or I'm not knocking our, Oscar. Max showed why he's probably the best driver in Formula One.
Yeah.
He didn't quit. He didn't quit. And the best thing was at the end of the day, he congratulated everybody, his team, for the effort that they put in at the last half of the season, to produce a car that, collectively they all could do something with, and they proved that they could, even though it probably wasn't the best car. And then, he congratulated, Lando and everybody. So, there was no, sniveling and whining and, I deserved it and that. He proved why he's a champion. And whether he comes back strong next year, who knows? Will he win the title in the next 3 years? I think one more time he will. Yes,
he's got to have the car to do it. That's going to be the biggest thing.
But it's now we're into the wild card, and so it might. I don't know if it's the car. The question is, we know who the strongest driver in the field is. Okay, we know that. Okay. If he has a car that is reasonably close, right?
Yeah, I already know who you're talking about.
What do you mean?
Fernando and Aston, they're going to win next year.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Because you get Adrian. Now, if Fernando wins next year, that'll be fantastic.
I would love that.
it would be fun. But it's just a matter of whether, we see... we'll see what Max is really, really made of, and I think the field's going to see that. So, but I thought Max is put on.
See what he's made of. I don't. He doesn't have to prove anything.
No. See, he's going to show he's going to really show that he is really the strongest driver in F1. That's what he's really going to show. We know that, but there's a lot of people that are skeptical about it.
I don't think he needs to do anything more.
Yeah. Well,
I think he's proven his case. Like that's
right. I think in the next 3 years he wins one more driver's title, and I think in 3 years, I think at the end of 3 years he's gone.
He's going to
be off to some other racing adventure.
At this point, he's not defending another title, so Yes, he has a job to do, and if he wants to do an F1, that's totally fine. But he's
now
made it known that he has other racing aspirations. So whenever he wants to hang it up,
let's just take it to the extent that, say, next year they come out of the blocks, Red Bull comes out of the blocks, smokes everybody, he wins it. Max's contract's up. I think he walks away. I think he goes out on top, and he's off to I think he's off to endurance racing and other things. That's where I see him going.
I don't know. I think it depends on how dominant the car is.
Yeah, but
because if you, I get it. I get it. He wants to go do other stuff, but
no. It's not that Max wants to do other stuff. It's that Max travels to he travels to his own speed, you know?
Right. And I know he's totally he seems content with what he's achieved. Like he's won a championship, let alone four.
If he wins next year, do you see him re-upping with Red Bull?
I think if he's,
We got to take this one step further. It's Red Bull Ford. So the question is, what happens in 2027?
I'm sorry. Let me just backtrack for a second. I always find myself saying "I think," like just the two words a lot, and it's like, what else am I doing right now?
Well, it's like when people say "me personally."
Yeah, that's another one.
Which is one of my favorite things. That never made sense. And then I was listening to the Marshall Pruitt podcast, and he started, like, people would write in and go, "me personally." And he would go, "well, yes, you." And I was like, that's exactly what I was thinking.
So the one
I'm
that
not
I,
an English major, but it
the,
is
the
fun.
One that I've caught us saying a lot is, "you know."
You know?
And,
you know?
I like to be an ass once in a while, and, like, people will say that to me, and I'll be like, actually, yeah. I don't know.
Actually, I don't know.
I was like,
because right.
You haven't told me what you're trying to tell me yet.
Anyway.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Ford's in this equation, so how's that play out? But regardless of that partnership, if the car comes out of the box and it is dominant, and
good.
I'm talking Mercedes 2014-esque. Yeah.
Red Bull-esque.
Not even Red Bull. Like it is Mercedes dominant, and even like you can go back and say Ferrari dominant from its years. Like it's just clearly the car.
Yeah.
The only thought I can think would be going through his mind, or would creep into his mind is, I'm at four, and if I can have a few good years, and this car really is that dominant for that much longer, do you just go for the outright record in championships and take Michael and Lewis, and you go to eight? You be the one that goes to eight. And don't get me wrong, I know there's plenty of people that it's like, do we really want another dominant years of Max Verstappen? And I'm like, well, we already went through it twice with Michael and Lewis, and Lewis's reign was a lot longer than Michael's in that sense, and it was only outdone by Rosberg in 1 year. So it would be boring, don't get me wrong, but I think that would be the only reason why it would be convincing him to stay in F1, because otherwise, like, I'm on the side of I would like to see Max go off and do the stuff he seems passionate about doing, because I think that would be really interesting to do. And to get wrapped up in records and everything, it's like you have this conversation across every sport, and there's always ifs and buts here and there. And I think the fortunate thing with the top, the current world champions that are on the grid and in, over the past 25 years, is they've all more or less crossed paths with each other, and you can see really where the differences lie. And I mean, given if Ferrari knocks it out of the park next year and they're up in the front, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Lewis is still just as hungry for another title as anyone else.
That's true.
And and you can see it when he's trying to put the race in his, or take control of the race a little bit on his own. Like, he's still he can be still just as cutthroat. And it'd be cool to see that come back. And I mean, I know Alonso hasn't really fought for race wins recently. I mean, he's been fighting for podiums, not last year, but the year before. But still, when he gets a chance to defend for a position, he's the only one that's that really is racing on the track, I feel. Because everyone else is just playing to the numbers and the lap time. And it's like, oh, like, we just want to run our race. It's like, no, like, this is where you can make a difference in the race sometimes. Even if the numbers say it's not the thing to do, you might, if you do it enough, you might actually force a different hand, which is interesting to play out. And that's a wild card pick in itself. I think next year too, it'll be interesting to see how Oscar rebounds from here.
That's one of my things for next year.
So, but yeah.
Well, I think you know, overall, it can, you know, no great surprise. I mean, the only thing that could have happened was some kind of mechanical breakdown. The two guys get into it, but you know, it went pretty much the way we thought.
The first lap and everything kind of settled down. It had to be a mechanical failure. Kind of where it was going.
At that point. I mean, the other thing was, I think all three of us, kind of in the back of our minds, knew, you know, Lando was probably going to win it.
We'd been saying it the whole time. We're like, it's,
you know, but it just, as we got closer and closer to the end, you know, Max kept creeping closer, and it just, you know, it made it, again, this kind of proves that you don't need a playoff system. This is, you know, because had this been a playoff system, Max, in theory, so let's just say the playoffs started, you know, at some point in these last five or six races, Max would have been your champion. He had the best finishes in the last five races. If you're going to go that's the route that a playoff would have went, the DNFs, disqualifications, and the screw up at Qatar, Max would have been your champion. Because don't forget, the points would have reset.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to see if there is a case for any other driver to sneak in, and I'm like,
no,
the only other surprise podiums would have been Sainz, Kimi.
But they weren't consistent enough.
And
the most consistent driver during the last half of the season was Max.
Oh, by far.
And the
season,
if you go,
the season was split into thirds. The first third was Piastri's, second Lando's.
If you had playoffs, they would have fallen into that.
Why are we talking about third. Playoffs?
We've brought a terrible name into this.
We don't.
I know, but this is only because we saw that in supercars. We saw it in NASCAR, it's a joke.
But we're bringing attention to something that should not need attention.
I 100% agree.
The only attention it should be is rejection. We don't know. That's the only when you do the you know the what word comes to mind, like I say a word, you say something back. If I say playoff, you just say no as loud as possible.
No, yeah. That's I'd like to get Nate's opinion on that, but we'll
I think
see.
He would say the same thing.
I think he will.
Because you're
going to
tell
thing.
Me because we can. I mean, we can get him riled up pretty quickly on that. But yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, so why don't we take a pause at this point, call it a night, and we can regroup.
Yeah, I was. Well, this is more into news related. I know, yep. But it's still F1. They must have had their test day today.
They did.
So teams, there was a screenshot of Mercedes.
Yeah. Oh, testing. They had some funky thing.
So they attached with the new regulations next year, right?
Yeah.
You got it. It's not only the rear wing that's going to move, but it's also the front wing. And because this is the beauty of a regulation change, you now get to see the other thing too with the race on Sunday, that was the last race of this generation. They
DRS.
Are
DRS. Yeah.
Yes, DRS, so, the DRS stuff, so, but also just quick, the generation quick and voice. You can and it's now behind you. It's not a car that can be you can use it for practice and what have you, but there is no previous generation that is, or previous year car that is like the next year car.
Right.
So, Mercedes.
Just before.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, just before we get on to what you were going to talk about, quick quiz: who was the first guy to use DRS?
In F1?
In an F1 race, yeah.
Well, let's see. DRS was brought forth in, was it 09?
Yeah, Just take a guess.
Isn't it Button?
Bingo.
Yeah.
Correct. And who's the last person to use it?
Was it Lando?
No.
Alonso?
Nope. Give you one more guess.
Lewis.
Kimi. Antonelli.
Okay.
I thought you were gonna get. I was shocked to get the first one. I thought you were gonna get the second one.
No. Well, okay. I think I saw this post, but I saw Button was the one that first used it. I didn't see the one about Kimi.
I thought it was a fantastic post.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, look at that. All right. Explain this wing that they were using.
So.
I did see something about this.
What I want to preface this for my whole point being is this is the cool technical side of the sport.
Yeah.
That now you get to see it's going to be even more testing and more, well, sorry. It's going to be more crazy test methods to try and get anything and everything as much as possible. So from that point, I'm looking forward to this because, will the grid probably be strung out pretty thin to start with? Maybe. If it's way closer, that would be awesome. But but I would, my expectation for next year is the first race, it'll probably be a runaway. Like, it's just everyone's hiding until qualifying, and then even after qualifying, it's like you still got the race. With this stuff, Mercedes has rigged their car to make the front wing on this now older generation of F1 cars have a movable front wing. And so they could
adjust it?
No, so it could open while it was driving.
Was it mechanically activated or was it activated by the airflow?
No, it was mechanically activated.
Is this allowed?
It's testing.
Right.
You can do whatever.
But what I
oh,
what
for,
I saw
for next
in the,
year.
Yeah.
So, well, I guess this might have to be a whole separate discussion. But next year, there's active aero that's being introduced. So
okay.
It's not only the rear wing that moves; it's also the front wing.
Front wing. It's just a question of yeah.
So,
but I think people were more surprised that they all of a sudden popped up with this at this event. That's what I. And I think it was more so. I think it was more so the team, not the teams. I think it was more the media. The press was like, "What the hell is that?"
Yeah, exactly. But this, so it is a weird looking contraption of how they've done this because they basically use the two holes that the pit crew will go in with, you know,
an adjuster,
and tune the front wing that way. But what they did is they pretty much they had two actuators propped pretty much straight up. So it was like two sticks on the front wing. And then it was like basically screwed into the front wing itself. And then from there, because it's an actuator, you need air or fluid, whichever system you're using.
Something.
They have the hoses, the rubber hoses, go from the actuators and it goes down to the front of the wing, and they snake the hoses through the front nostrils of the front wing. So it looks like they got it like in a hospital, like all hooked up.
It's on a breathing thing.
So it was just funny to look at. But that's again, this is make a quick test contraption to go out and get some data, and this is what they come up with.
I did on terms of that, I did see, and I know I sent it to you, but folks that listen should take a listen to or take a view of the Cadillac YouTube channel and check out the stuff that they're doing behind the scenes. It's kind of fun. I shouldn't say fun, but it's really interesting. So they spent a lot of time in North Carolina at the GM facility, which is really it's really Pratt and Miller, at the sim site with the various drivers, Simon Pagenaud and Pietro Fittipaldi, and then the team that's there, you know, building the car in virtual. And stuff like that, and how they're working with the various engineers and stuff. So that's been kind of cool. Now they're going to head overseas to the factory in England for the next thing. So really interesting to see how they're doing that.
Yeah, I ended up watching the Pagenaud one,
which was very good.
Yeah, the stuff like that is what I want to see more of, and I know I'm biased because of.
Your profession.
The profession and just engineering in general. But like
general, yeah.
What separates? I've always viewed F1 is the claims to be the pinnacle of motorsport. Okay, but what I think they've failed to do over the last 10 years really is showcase the technical side of the sport.
Yeah.
And I know they do those tech talks videos with Sam Collins.
Some of which are very
But they don't promote it as well as they should.
And I find that to be some of the most interesting content that they have on F1 TV.
Right. Like I think they really should spend more time like going through like all of the upgrades, like show, like doing all the diagrams, or here's the picture,
100%.
Here's what they're working on, and like you have a lot of ex F1 drivers looking at all, or having been involved in the teams, they know what they're trying to do to some extent. I'm not saying that they can explain every theory, theory and nuance that's being done by the teams and whatnot, but they can still sit there and run you through, like, here's the test, this is probably what they're looking for kind of deal. And because the other bit, too, with watching the Cadillac GM video with Pagenaud, and then I've on the side I've been reading Mark Webber's book,
mm-hmm.
and you forget and really what I think they don't what no one really tells you is how much testing there still is going on even in today. It may not be physical testing on a car,
It's virtual.
It's a lot more virtual probably today, but even still I'm sure there's the older F1 cars that they can use, you know, quote unquote unlimited testing on because they're X many years out, and you still have guys going out there driving the car and engineers rigging the thing up, trying to get data that way. Like, there's a lot more in the background that I know a lot of teams wouldn't, you know, want to show their car during those test days, but like, if you could try and get more of that technical end, because that's the distinguishing or the defining feature of F1, where you can design your car. Every car out there, from each team, every car is different. And yeah, some weekends, the two cars in the garage might be different because they're trying a couple different things on it.
So this is just looking at, you know, what you're saying, I think this is the one advantage that Red Bull has, in the sense that they have a driver who in the real world is very good at, you know, telling you what the car does, what it needs, you know, and all that. Okay. Unfortunately, what we hear on the radio is Max's frustration. And it's like, you know, it's like he spends so much time with, say, GP and the other folks. And they spend a lot of time. I mean, you saw it this week. Like, if you were watching early in the weekend in practice, I think Montoya was standing outside the Red Bull garage. And he was looking in and he was seeing GP was in there. And he wasn't on the pit wall. He was in the garage looking at the data. And he was doing notes. And I mean, he was really, you could see he was putting some thought into it. And Montoya was like, this is what you need, you know, and things like that. And I think you see this a lot in IndyCar, because everything, you're in a box in IndyCar. But I mean, I'm not saying that every other team in Formula One doesn't do this, but I mean, I think there's certain guys that do a lot more homework. And I think Max and GP are one of them. But when they go, and they like, I think one of the things that they did this year during the break was, I think Max was at the factory in the sim working on a car. I think that's what I know people make fun of Max doing his little iRacing things and all this. But you know what? Whether it's a real car or a virtual car, he likes to drive. And by being able to take the virtual world and marry it with the real world, which I think he really actually does, I think it's a huge advantage to a team.
Yeah, he. There was a interview going around with, it was him and Gabby on some podcast.
Oh yeah, it was. Was it a Brazilian podcast or?
Yeah,
it was around the time.
Anyways,
I saw it, but I haven't delved into it.
If you can probably, it's probably easy to find on YouTube. I've seen clips of it everywhere.
Seen stuff still popping up recently of it. Yeah,
I'd suggest go and watch that, because everything you're talking about, he pretty much discusses at length there and gives really good answers.
Yeah, he gives
thoughtful answers of and really explains it well.
Well, it's just when, I mean, people just, like, they see him flipping off, you know, on the radio, or, you know, he's like, well, he's doing this on the track. Well, you know what? At the end of the day, he's a race driver. He's a champion. He's a world-class driver. But he is head and shoulders above everyone. Because, I mean, I'll be honest with you, in hearing this, Lewis does not like being in the sim. Hates it. Well, hates it.
Some drivers like it, and others don't. And...
Yeah,
with today, it's just a tool to get you up to speed, and it's
with the lack of testing, you have to be able to do both. That's the thing.
I would
because you. Can,
I'd say go back and watch that
okay.
interview at full because they do give credit to guys that don't need it necessarily because for some it's
yeah.
not. It's a tool.
It's not for
everything.
Everyone.
It's not everything.
Yeah,
and there
right.
still is the last bit that you like. You need to figure it out because
right.
he was saying about Max was saying about or no I'm sorry, Gabby was saying some of the because this is his rookie year in F1. Some of the tracks he's never been to.
Right,
and
same,
he said
yeah,
for
same with Oscar.
He said for
originally.
Suzuka, it was he did all of his testing and on the sim, and then by the time he showed up, he was more or less on par with Hülkenberg. For lap times, and he said that he felt like he had done plenty of laps around there, having never been there. So, and then also the Gabby also then gives some other examples of how either being on there with Max or any of the other guys, and like just
yeah.
other little details that get put across come up in conversation that you would do say on a track walk or stuff like that. So he
mm-hmm.
a lot of that initial track walk of how you would go and learn a track kind of deal is or even if it's not a track walk, you just go out and drive a couple laps and
yeah.
figure the track out that way. Whichever way it is you learn the track. It's all about just getting up to speed the fastest. So and for any driver you just do the approach that you think works best for you. So,
yep. All right. Well, great stuff there. I didn't know about that little Mercedes tidbit. That's awesome.
I just found out about it today. So
yeah,
that was
so,
it.
Good
just
stuff.
It kicked in the reminder of like it's new regulations. Like testing is actually going to be really interesting to watch. Even
right.
if you know one team is just clearly miles ahead, kind of deal. Like it's still
yeah.
like. It's fresh.
Yep.
And also, I know I said F1 does a lot of design, and like that's, you know, there's each car is unique.
Yeah.
There are other series where there is a lot of development work in other areas. It might not just be
right.
as visual, because obviously
right.
with F1, like aero is everything and a lot of the car is exposed, but it's not to say that there isn't engine suspension development that goes on in the background that you don't see unless you're really looking and you also have a reference photo to compare the two. Cause it those changes aren't as easy to pick up as like a blatant aero change.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I don't have anything else notes wise.
Yeah, no, I mean, we can talk next week. There's a lot of stuff coming out in IMSA right now. There's still some driver lineups to be finalized, but next week when we gather again for possibly the year-end special, our year-end show, we can go through that because testing for Daytona is coming right up.
Yeah, and if we didn't say it before, like, congrats to Lando. He's still champion.
Nope. Yep. Still champion.
And after thinking about it, am I a little upset that, you know, my driver didn't win? Yeah, I would have loved to see Max do fifth or even Oscar do
yeah,
his first.
I'm fine with the top three and how it turned out.
Yeah.
What I'm not fine with is the BS that McLaren put their
yes,
drivers through.
Yes.
That's
it's,
what I'm not.
It's,
that's
it's the whole
yeah.
handling situation of the season that
and,
McLaren.
And
that's
I'm,
yeah.
I'm just going to say this. This is not uncommon for the leadership of that team in its current state. And this is falling squarely on its leader, who has had similar issues within the IndyCar paddock.
Yeah.
So
okay, that's a whole
yeah.
other can of worms. We'll save that.
It is a whole nother can of worms, but it's
yeah.
the same thing with him
yeah.
going out and getting drivers and dropping drivers and doing the whole thing
yeah.
and playing around. So, you know,
yeah.
it's, you know, whatever, but, you know,
yeah.
again, congrats to Lando. You know, we'll see. Hopefully, you know, Oscar gets a crack at it. you know, we we'll see what Max rebounds with, you know.
And but all of that won't even matter because Alonzo's going to be the champion next year.
Fred's going to be the champion next year.
If it's none of the top five teams, my two hopes from outside of the top five, I know I'm getting ahead of myself. My hopes are Alonzo and Aston, or Carlos and Williams.
Yeah. So
those are my two.
We're gonna have to keep an eye on Haas because now they are Haas Toyota.
They've been Haas Toyota.
No. It is now Haas Toyota.
Is that announced today?
No, it was announced earlier this week. MoneyGram ceased its sponsorship.
Yeah.
No, ceased its sponsorship, but Toyota has stepped in with the dollars. So,
all right. So
they're on their way. They're on their way to be going back to. And I think you need to. I don't know if you listened to the Kobayashi podcast.
No, I didn't realize Kamui had one.
No, his dinner with races.
Oh, was there something in there?
Yeah, they asked him, and he was very coy, but it was very kind of telling.
Okay, all right, I'll have to go. Yeah.
You'll have to go. It was an excellent interview.
I know we've been trying to wrap this up for 5 minutes, but speaking of Dinner with Races, they have some new episodes to listen to. So...
These are the ones that drop.
Yeah, Thanksgiving.
Pre-Thanksgiving.
Knowing them, they will probably have another batch that comes out
around
Christmas. So,
yes, yeah. Because there is somebody who is in these episodes. There's two people in these episodes that get mentioned.
Yep.
One is doing voiceovers, and there is another driver that's named at the end of these as the question person. Okay. So, again, another great job by those guys. Yeah. Proven Wild, I think they're probably one of the top. They're not a motorsports news podcast, but from a racing podcast, they're the most entertaining one.
Yeah.
Anyways, and on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.